Hey everyone, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode, I want to talk about how and when to use an NPS survey in your startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And I'll tell you why I want to talk to you about this, Heaton, because you have done it again and just recently inspired me and inspired the entire Closeout team by sending out this the email where you basically describe the NPS score that your recent online webinar workshop got, right? You sent out an email about this. And the moment I just read the subject line and my mind was already blown because I did not ever think of doing an NPS score for anything else other than our core product, which is obviously dumb, but I thought maybe I'm not the only one that hasn't thought about this before. And I shared the email with my team and like literally a bunch of people now started being like, you know, we have a bunch of guys on the success team that are like, well, yes, we're starting to do an NPS score for the webinars and the trainings that we give. And, you know, we are publishing quite regularly ebooks, as you know, and we're like, let's do an NPS score for the books that we're launching. And it just started this wildfire within Close. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. We're probably going to have to backtrack and lay the foundational groundwork of telling people what is an NPS and why do companies use this and how do SaaS companies use it. But then I want to talk a little bit more about like other ways of using it, other than just to get a sense for how people like your product and kind of the things that you've learned from, and then we'll wrap this episode up. Sound good?
Yeah. So let me just drop the primer in it about Net Promoter Score and the sort of starter. So Net Promoter Score, shortened to NPS, is a customer satisfaction score that was actually created by Bain & Company, and they're a big consulting firm. It was created many, many years ago. And they actually own the trademark to it. So if you ever really use it on a website or something, you're supposed to put a trademark or something like that. But they can't stop you from using it or anything, so don't worry about it. And it basically helps you understand basically put people into three buckets by asking them one simple question, which is, it's to the tune of, how likely are you to recommend this product or whatever you're trying to get a score for, to a friend or a colleague, depending on how you want to word it and what your product is, you would ask it one of the two ways. And then the options are 0 all the way to 10. So 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 0 being not very likely and 10 being very likely. And based on that, there's basically a scoring system where if you're a 9 or a 10, if someone puts a 9 or a 10, they're a promoter. If they put, like, I think it's 8 or 7 or an 8, they're, what do they call that? A passive, meaning like they're lukewarm about it, I would say. And then if they put anything lower than a 7, like a 0 through a 6, they're basically a detractor. And the buckets are like this. A detractor is going to actively go out of their way. This is the description, but basically a detractor is going to actively go out of their way to tell other people not to use your product. A passive is not going to say anything. And a promoter, those are the people that go shout from the rooftops about your product because they love it so much. So that's basically how it breaks down, and it helps you figure out, you know, who you have, and there's a calculation that gives you a score. And what Stelly was referencing was that I did a workshop a few months ago, and now I'm doing my second one, but the first one had a really high NPS score. It had an NPS score of 88, and Apple has an 89. Believe it or not, Tesla has like a 93 or something. And a really high score would be in the 60s and 70s in general, but it really depends on your industry. So an 88 is pretty high. I was blown away by that score, and I look forward to beating that score in the next workshop. And I sent an email about it just to kind of share with people. And since I'm doing another workshop, I am promoting it and want people to join it. And I thought a great way was to tell people what the NPS was last time. And I think it's really fascinating, Stelly, like the high level of why I love Net Promoter Score is that it's a simple metric. There's a calculation and you get a score. And based on that score, though, you can't do much. You just have a score. It's great. Like people love it or they don't, or you have more work to do. What's really powerful is when you ask them a follow-up question. My favorite one is, and it's open-ended, is after they put the score in, whatever their score is, you ask them an open-ended question and ask them, what's the most important reason for your score? And I studied this. I looked at all the content out online about MPS, and I found that to be the most valuable question. Then what you do is, between detractors, passives, and promoters, you look at their various responses, and you try to find the patterns, and you make it better. That's basically the bottom line. If I got an 88 on my score, it means most people were basically 8, 9s, and 10s. There are very few people lower than that, and that's why I got a high score. So there isn't much for me to learn around making it better, except look at the 8s, but there weren't that many 8s. It was only a 30-person course. And even with a few people and little amount of data, you can get a score. And you can understand how people feel about whatever you're doing. And so we can talk about all the various ways to use it. I think it's really interesting that your team decided to start using it for all these things they're doing. So I'm excited to talk to you about it. But that's the sort of couple-minute primer on it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think one of the other things that's great about the kind of NPS survey and scores is that, A, it's very simple to do, but also because it's so widely used that it's actually can be a good benchmark in certain industries or verticals, right? Because a lot of companies are using this. We know that a lot of companies in SaaS are definitely using this. The thing that you know, I'd heard you, if I'm not mistaken, I think you've done an NPS survey once for somebody else's product, right? Where you were doing research about other people's products.
Yeah, we were doing research, and we still are actually in the document space. So like online documents, document creation and that whole category, my founder and I. And we learned that we asked people for the score, so they're 0 to 10, as well as that open-ended question on about 5 or 6 different products. I think it was 5 different products. Google Docs, Dropbox, Microsoft Word, and a few others. And we got their scores, and we even did a great write-up on it. So that was for other people's products.
That's awesome. So I remember that, and I thought that was kind of creative because I'd never heard anybody do a survey about somebody else's product, right? People struggle to even do an NPS on their own products, let alone doing it for competitive products or other products out there to just gain knowledge and insights about the market and space. But I don't know, man. I think that, you know, any context I've ever read about or seen a company use an NPS survey was always in the context of their core product. So that's how we use it. Like we do NPS surveys quite regularly with our customer base, right? With our user base. And for us, it's not so much about and we do respond to people that are filling out the survey and answering the follow-up questions. We do reply to them and we kind of look into it and we try to gain as many insights as possible. But on the pure benchmark number, the thing we're looking for is like the trend line, right? Are we improving quarter over quarter or are we not, right? That's kind of like more than the total, whatever the final number is, more important than that is like, what is the trend line? Are you improving the product? Are you getting more and more people that are using the product or customers of yours to be promoters of the product? And that's kind of the context within we've been thinking about doing NPS surveys. And then reading you basically using NPS as a way for you to gauge how successful was the webinar that I gave and the workshop and how valuable was it and how many of these people would tell other people to take one of my webinars. That just opened, I think, my mind and my team for, wait a second, NPS is just a survey and we can use it for a variety of different things we're doing. We can use it for our core product, obviously, but we can use it for our webinars as well, which we haven't yet. We've never done that before. We could use this for, you could use this for our blog. We could use this for any type of content that we promote and we publish out there. And we know that thousands of people are reading. Why not do a survey and see how, you know, how many of those are real promoters of it and how are we trending, you know, in these different categories? So I think just taking something like this survey and then thinking about it much broader as like a tool that can be used in all kinds of different circumstances is, I think, what really inspired me, what made our team go, woo, we should do all this crazy stuff around this.
Yeah, I love that. It is exactly how you improve something. At the end of any experience where you have at least like, you know, 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 people that you think will respond to a survey, it's a great thing to do. And it's not just the trending. It's really, for me, what I found valuable is the open-ended responses and what you can learn from those, especially from the detractors and the passives. Because your whole goal is to get more people to be promoters. That's actually the goal. That's how you're going to increase the score. So what's really important is that open-ended question right after and making sure it's very useful to you the way you ask it.
All right. So is there any, like, if somebody listens to this and is doing a little bit of research on NPS surveys, they realize that there's, I think, a bunch of really good articles on, like, the basics to how this works, although I think you've done a fantastic job. I don't think you need to know that much more about it necessarily. But then there's also plenty of tools out there that allow you to do this for people that are just like, how can I step into action and start doing NPS surveys? Have you ever seen any, are there any like mistakes that companies make or people make once they first use it? Have you seen people go about it the wrong way or misuse the NPS survey in some way?
Yeah, I think it still goes back to sort of maybe what I'm repeating, but what's been important to me as I've done it, which is if you just get the score, you only know the score. If you don't ask the open-ended question, you won't actually learn why. And learning why they chose their answer is really, really important. Otherwise, you're just going to be guessing at what improvements you make. So to me, it's the open-ended responses and segmenting them by the three different groups. And that really is where you start really learning a ton. Because you'll learn why people are essentially detractors. You'll learn why they're just passive. And, you know, obviously you'll learn why they're willing to promote it. Because that number one most important reason that they chose a score really gets them thinking and says, well, this is why, you know, and it's not just like, why did you choose the score? It's what's the most important reason why you chose the score is what I would really aim for. So to me, like the biggest mistake people make is they don't ask for that second sort of, they don't ask the two question survey. They ask the one question one, get a score and they're happy with it. And then they can benchmark against Apple or whoever they want to. But really it's about how do you improve your own product or your own content or your own whatever you're trying to improve. I mean, you could probably even ask this at a coffee shop after someone's experience if you can catch them out as they're going out the door and stuff like that, or email them after, right? And there's all these other things. It's like, think of it this way. It's a way to gauge an experience. And you don't just want a score. You also want to know why they felt that way about the experience and then use that information to go improve. And so I think that's the biggest mistake. Another one is people can go NPS crazy by asking the same people NPS too often. So you kind of want to be smart about like, who do you ask it to and what part of the kind of experience, right? Sometimes it's like, if people are on a free trial of a product, you can ask them for NPS a week in, and then you can ask different people 2 or 3 weeks in, you know, you can even ask the same person. It's just people are going to get kind of tired of answering the question if you keep asking the same person, same people over and over again. That's a little bit of a smaller issue because most people don't do that. But if you do go NPS crazy, that type of stuff can happen. So I would point that one out too. For me, it's just like one way to think about it is at certain points in an experience, whether it's they read something, a blog post, or they're on your email list and you just want to know how they feel about the email list, or you did a webinar and after the webinar is complete, you want to know what people thought. These are all great points, you know, where you can ask NPS because they've finished an experience. You can also ask them, like I said, 1 week into a trial of a product to see if they've gotten value yet and how satisfied they are. Because ideally, when someone uses something like a product that they're going to be, you know, the plan is that they keep using it every month, like a software product, you want to give them value as soon as possible. So asking them in those situations earlier can be helpful to help you understand what is the point when we start getting more promoters in our product and how do we go get them earlier? Because that would be the kind of problem you want to solve with it. So I think it's a problem solving tool. It's a learning tool more than just a score. And that's probably the high level of where I would push, you know, people and their usage of it.
I love it. All right. So we're going to wrap this episode up, but I want to really highlight one thing, which is that the current work that you do, especially with your newsletter and kind of how you pull the curtain and show people how you are building this new company and the kind of the level of transparency that you're currently displaying in your newsletter with kind of step-by-step explaining to people how you do things, why you do things. I think it's, you know, it's the highest value email that I'm on. And we've had a number of episodes now recently that were totally inspired by your newsletter and by some of the tactics that you shared with the email list. So I'm getting a ton of value out of it. And I really want to encourage everybody who's listening to the podcast and is not yet on Heaton's newsletter, you better get on that thing as quickly as you can. It's really the most valuable email I get every single week. Why don't you share to people who don't yet know how to get there what the URL is to get on the email list?
Sure. It's called producthabits.com. And you can just sign up right on the homepage. You'll also get a pretty valuable ebook that I have done MPS on, and I'm making it better, but it's great. People have said it's sped up their product development. The general topic is about product development, but I've had the list for a few years now, and I send 10 links every week that are for people who are interested in software businesses and just business in general. But I am taking a much more focused approach around product development just because I'm finding it important for everybody. So yeah, it's producthabits.com. I also share the podcast on it, pretty often, pretty much every week as a tip of the week, because you and I are always dropping great tips and, you know, knowledge bombs, as some would say. So everyone listening should definitely check it out. I, as Steli was saying, I like to share what I learn, and it seems like a lot of people get value from it. And I just sent an email just to poke people's curiosity that I'm probably not going to publish online called the Heaton Bomb today. And it's probably been one of my better emails. I've gotten many, many, many responses already on it. And it was hard to share. But yeah, I'll take the compliment from you any day, Steli. This is the second time you've given it to me on this one. Hey, I really appreciate it.
Hey, I absolutely mean it. I love those emails. I love the Heaton Bomb one. I was laughing today because I remember I was having a conversation about this a while back. So I'm super glad that you shared this with the world. Good shit, everybody. If you enjoyed the episode, please make sure to go to iTunes or wherever you're listening to us and give us a 5-star review and a rating, and we'll hear you very, very soon.
I want to give one shout out real quick. We don't get paid by sponsors on this podcast or anything. There's a company that does Net Promoter Score as a tool and has a lot of content on it that I get inspired by about this topic, and I was inspired. And the company's called Delighted. It's delighted.com, DELIGHTED.com. They're not paying for this. I don't like recommending other people's software just in general, because that's like a promotion. There are a lot of Net Promoter schools out there right now. They are the best, in my opinion, because that's all they focus on. And a lot of the great companies are also using them, including Slack and others. And they just provide a really simple tool to do it. In fact, a lot of we don't like using other people's tools for simple things, so we've actually implemented our own MPS system at one of my companies, and we got inspired by their tool and what they've done. So just wanted to give that shout out to those folks over there.
Awesome. Super sweet. This does not happen often, so if you recommend it, I'll check it out. All right, everybody. Cool. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.